Hello, hello. This is Wendy, and welcome back to Overexposed, a podcast by Pexels made by and for ambitious creatives. Today, I'm joined by one of our very own super talented Pexels heroes, the one and only Luke Barkey. Luke is a 26-year-old creative director, photographer, and videographer based in Cape Town, South Africa, who, I quote, has an addiction to dad jokes and chicken nuggets. Luke had his start in the advertising world 6 years ago before he started shooting professionally for the last 4 years. I'm so excited for this episode because, I kid you not, we talked for almost 2 hours. Luke's energy and drive is absolutely infectious, and we actually ended up covering so many important topics, from how to find your style to dealing with hustle culture and burnout to the importance of building community in the creative industries. Now, without further ado, let's jump right into the episode. Well, thank you so much, Luke, for joining us on Overexposed. I know we've kind of chatted back and forth, like through the Pexels on social media and everything, but it's really awesome to be able to chat with you one-on-one. And yeah, I'm excited to kind of learn more about you and your story.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me. I must admit, I'm really, really excited.
So first of all, I know you are a creative director and photographer, videographer based in South Africa. I've heard so many amazing things about Cape Town from people who've visited or people who live there. What was it like kind of growing up there for you?
You know, I mean, South Africa is probably one of the best countries that I've ever been to. So I was born in Durban, actually, and then moved to a small town just south of Durban, and with family all over the world. You know, I've been lucky enough to travel a little bit, and South Africa just has something else. It's something you can't really describe. In South Africa, we say it has a different kind of vibe. You know, it's got a feeling when you walk down the street, people are warm and energetic and exciting, and that's pretty much how childhood was. You know, there was freedom to run around and experience things. You know, we would go surfing in the morning and then ride motorbikes, you know, in the afternoon, and it was incredible. It's live with that culture and just beautiful people all around.
Yeah, that sounds so amazing. Completely opposite of kind of what I knew growing up in North America and around the Toronto area, where I think a lot of the similarities in growing up, like curiosity, but the only difference is kind of like where you are in the world. For us, it was more like snowmobiling and skiing and all of that, whereas for you, it was like surfing. So yeah, it's really interesting kind of the similarities and differences. So you started in advertising before you got into photography. What made you kind of make that transition, and what was it like when you first picked up the camera?
It was interesting. You know, I never really thought about it as a medium to express yourself. And I have an uncle who's a photographer, and he would always show me his work, and I always found it quite interesting, especially his work with, you know, long exposure photography, getting that misty water sort of look. And, you know, I just decided to pick one up and get started. And I've literally been hooked ever since. And my first advertising job, we had a couple really nice clients who would let us shoot pretty much whatever we wanted. It was a food brand. And I literally just started from there, and I haven't stopped since. And yeah, living in a beautiful country like this, there's so many opportunities to work with some incredible people and just master your craft and learn some really, really cool things.
Yeah. What was the creative landscape like in like Cape Town or in South Africa in general when it comes to like creativity? Is there like a lot of people getting into like photography and everything, especially given it's such a beautiful country with so many things to kind of go out and take photos of?
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible how, when you start forming communities you start finding other people or part of other communities. And it really, really shifted when I moved to Cape Town. So like I said, I originally started in Durban and then moved to Cape Town. And the amount of people that I found here that are into photography or some kind of videography, models as well, it's just insane. It's everywhere you look, there are gifted people who are so much more talented than you are that push you to really create excellent work. And, you know, often they are quite harsh critics, but it's just to make you that much better. So it's really, really, it's really cool to be in Cape Town.
Yeah, it's like similar for me. Like I live in Toronto right now, but I grew up in the suburbs. And of course, like there was people who kind of picked up photography as a hobby in middle school and high school. But look back and like in a suburb or a smaller town, I think like a majority of people just end up starting their own business or shooting families and stuff like that. But ever since I moved to Toronto and being able to access like a bigger city, it's like you get so blown away by the different things that people are doing. And I had to do a lot of catching up when I first moved here because I was like, whoa, people are doing these things that I've never even thought of before. And that's kind of how I got into concert photography when I first started, which wouldn't have even been a possibility in like a suburb. So yeah, it must have been
concert photography. That's something that I still haven't experienced much of.
It was super niche, and I've told this story so many times, but it was something that I could have only done if I've moved to Toronto, and it wouldn't have happened I think elsewhere because it was so niche. But yeah, before moving here I had no idea what it was, and I'm sure there are some like parallels of like these like niche kind of categories in South Africa and Cape Town too.
Yeah, no, definitely. We have from what I've seen, quite a few concert photographers, especially since Ultra, you know, started coming to South Africa. You know, I've got a couple friends that produce some absolutely incredible work for the production companies here. And you know, pre-COVID, we have quite a few, you know, somewhat smaller concerts in and around Cape Town. And it's, like I said, it's a sort of country where you can literally find a little bit of everything.
The term creative director can be a pretty broad title, and it can look a little different for everybody who works in that field. So for you, what does your role as a creative director look like on the different projects that you work on?
So it obviously ranges from literally the most basic things to the most complex things. Like you said, it is obviously quite broad, and that's because you have to wear so many different hats. As a creative director, you literally have to be this, you know, you have to support the team. You have to help them get out of sticky situations where you're trying to come up with concepts and nothing seems to be working. And you obviously are accountable for what goes on. So the way that I try and explain it to other people when they ask, you know, what does that actually mean? The easiest way I can describe it is you are the head of a whole team that's trying to achieve a common goal. You know, if, for example, if we are shooting a food brand, you know, we'll obviously get a brief, and it's my job to make sure that the team knows what they have to do, what we have to accomplish. And besides the production team, it's my goal to help them along the way in every step and make sure that we are answering the brief to, you know, the best of our abilities, and that the work that we produce at the end of the day, that we're all proud of.
That's a great way to put it. It's like you definitely wear a lot of hats. Like being a photographer is one thing, but it's kind of like being like a movie director, but for this specific set or specific project. And I never really thought about it that way. It's like you're just wearing so many hats and making sure everyone is supposed to be where they are and making sure you're all reaching that end goal.
Yeah, it's like being, you know, I think that the term content creators is also quite quite broad, but you will have guys that shoot their own videos, that also shoot their own pictures, obviously, but they pitch to clients themselves, they storyboard, they go out and shoot. Sometimes they themselves are the models, then they edit, and then they send off. That's, you know, that's sort of the world that we live in now. As a creative, you have to be able to do a little bit of everything. You know, when I first started out in advertising, my lecturers told me that never be good at just one thing, because nowadays it's not enough. You have to be able to do a little bit of everything, and you have to be good at it. Mm-hmm. So it's a learning curve, constantly. And that's one of the, you know, the biggest pieces of advice that I was given is always learn, constantly look at new things, try and find a difference, even if it's weird, just a different perspective of something, and make it your own and make it good.
Yeah, that's such a good point you make of like being able to kind of know a little bit of everything, even if you're not like the best at one thing. It's like the way that I was told about it, it was like kind of like a T, like you know a little bit of everything, and then maybe you're really good at this one thing. And maybe a couple of years ago, it was like just information. Everyone just needed to like know a lot of things and then maybe be good at one thing. And then that's your job for your entire life. But the way that technology and kind of life is going right now, everyone can learn everything on the internet, which kind of just puts that bar so much higher where, even if you don't know like specifically how to do something, just knowing the general principle of it would really help in situations like for yourself becoming a creative director, because if you don't know a little bit of editing, how can you tell the editor kind of what to do, or how do you know that they're not completely just sabotaging everything?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the best things you can do is surround yourself with, you know, firstly with people who support you, and then secondly with people who are a lot smarter and a lot better than you, because, you know, information is key. If you can surround yourself with people who are constantly giving you good advice and who are helping you along, you'll achieve much more than you could obviously without them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's especially with the way YouTube is going now, the access to information is incredible. And the amount of people that are willing to give that information out for free is absolutely incredible. And it's just, you can see what it's done for the industry. It's honestly just made everything, the talent that's coming out now is just incredible.
Yeah, and it's like that saying, like, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So like growing up in like a pretty academically like rigorous environment, I always told myself like I wanted to be like the dumbest person in the room, because it'll kind of take a hit on your ego a little bit, but in the end, like, that means the only way you can go is to get better rather than kind of the opposite way around.
Yeah, definitely. I think Richard Branson has a quote regarding something like
that, you know, probably where
always, kind of always hire people who are smarter than you and your business will grow, something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's something along those lines.
Yeah, I remember being I forget which book I read, but I started in like business school and I was like a huge like Richard Branson, Gary Vee fan, all of that. So a lot of, I think, like quotes that are ingrained in my mind are from them.
Yeah, I mean Gary Vee is someone that I watch, you know, quite often on YouTube. So you know, I start out my day with a Gary Vee video, and then, you know,
you're set.
By the end of the day, I'm like, yeah, I think I did that video proud.
Yeah, you just need someone to kind of scream at you for a little bit, and you're like, I'm ready to go. Yeah.
I think, you know, one of my favorite things that I got from a Gary Vee video, I can't remember exactly which one it was, but he said he was giving advice to a kid who asked him, you know, how do you grow on social media, something along those lines. And he said to him, you know, just keep pushing out content, you know, content that's good, content that you're proud of, because you are one piece of content away from blowing up. And, you know, that's sort of the way that I look at content now, because it's quite, you know, it's quite hard not to look at numbers.
Yeah.
You know, every day, how many followers do I have? How many likes do I have? How many comments do I have? But we have to just keep pushing, because like you said, you are one piece of content away from, you know, just booming.
Yeah. And I think it's like, especially with the internet, and it's so easy to kind of be able to do that now. It's not like you need to wait to get published or like submit something to someone to get it approved. Everyone has their own platform now, which on one hand makes it a little bit more competitive, but at the same time, there's so much more opportunity. And with the creative industries, it's like when I was starting with podcasts, and I kind of saw like some similarities between podcasting and like how I started with photography too. It's kind of like starts really slow at the beginning. So it's going to be, you're pushing out a lot of content. You might not be seeing results, and the numbers definitely can get to you if you pay attention to them too much. But like you mentioned, like maybe there's an inflection point and one thing you do might catch on fire and you'll start growing super big because of that. And you see that a lot with the like early adopters on Instagram. And for me, that was Sam Colder. I don't know if you've heard of him before. He was... he was local in Toronto. So I was really surprised when I heard like literally everyone knew about him. But
he's in Cape Town.
I did see that. Yeah, I follow his girlfriend Chelsea on Instagram. I love her stuff as well. And I did see that they recently moved there.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that that they moved here. It's I know a lot of friends felt the same way. It's that oh wow moment where you know that the bar has just been raised that much higher. But yeah, it's incredible with, you know, the what people can do now just with a few simple platforms. You know, they can build completely new lives out of it.
And
like you said, there's opportunity everywhere.
Yeah, and people have to kind of make it for themselves. It's not like you have to wait for someone to give you that call or that email. In that meantime, you can just be working on yourself and like in like some, yeah, like you said, like some people have created like their entire livelihoods from these platforms, which is absolutely crazy. But
it's funny you say that though. Like you know, I think that's why burnouts are such a real thing amongst creatives. And when I say creatives, I don't just mean people who, you know, take photographs or who are in advertising. But, you know, if you are producing content or something that's going on a platform, you know, you said that so there's no one, you know, phoning you to tell you to do that, you know, like a boss would. But if you're working for yourself, you're constantly in that mode of, I need to produce content, I need to think. And that's why I've seen a lot of people who burn out, and it's literally because they are going nonstop.
Yeah, it's that hustle culture. I think it's getting a lot more, like a lot better now, and people are becoming a lot more transparent about it. But yeah, it wasn't really talked about like 4 or 5 years ago when it was like glamorized, where it's like, oh, like I work like 12 hours a day and like your value or who you are is based on like how much you work. But now it's like, even with the pandemic, I think it's brought a lot of transparency where it's like, it's okay if you don't shoot photos for a couple of months. It's okay if you kind of take a creative break rather than kind of beating yourself up for it all the time.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, when we had a trend that was going on, I think it was about 2 years ago, you know, where we had a lot of people talking about mental health. And, you know, I think it is still ongoing, which is good, but we do need that transparency. You know, it's this, I really enjoy the hustle culture. You know, it's, I think it's good for people to work for what they want and to work hard. But at the same time, if you're not doing okay, you know, just say that I'm not doing okay. It doesn't make you weak. It's life. Life is difficult sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, with the pandemic, it's the one tiny silver lining is like, yeah, people are being able to kind of take note of like when they should take a break and that it's okay to not beat yourself up. And yeah, it's something that I kind of have to think about and balance as well, because similar to you, like I really love working hard and like getting completely lost in a project. But yeah, humans are humans, and at some point you like taking a break will be able to make you do better in the future.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, that's one of the hardest things with the working from home culture, especially if you live in, you know, in a flat or an apartment, you can't really, you know, branch out from, yeah. You're either in your room because you need, you're like, you know, on a call like this and you need privacy, or you're in the dining room and the fridge is so close to the dining room. Yeah. And so is the TV.
To get distracted.
So it's hard to get that balance. That's one thing that I really do miss about working in an office. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not the most necessary thing in the world. I mean, Corona's obviously taught us that we can do our jobs, or most people, from home. But like I said when we were talking before this, you miss that interaction and that structure that an office brings. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you work late at an office, you know, when you leave that office, you go home and your home becomes a place that you relax.
Exactly.
But now working from home, it almost feels like you're in that constant state of you need to be by your computer or you need to be working. So it's really important to set up those, you know, the structures in place. Like, I work from whatever time to whatever time, mm-hmm. but after that, my machine has to be shut down and I need to get out the house, go for a walk or something, and then carry on with my day.
Yeah, and it's super hard for creatives too, because like on one hand, I used to always justify it as like, oh, I'm lucky to be doing this. Like, it's not like I'm like stuck in an office doing like admin tasks all day. It's like, this is what I love. And like, thankfully it's like what I get paid for. So that makes it even harder, where it's like, I love what I do, but there's no distinction between like when you need to stop and like when you should kind of keep going.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt like that in the beginning. You know, now that this is becoming, you know, our new normal in inverted commas, people are starting to set better boundaries. Yeah. You know, they aren't just working from early hours in the morning straight through until the evening. I had a conversation with a colleague sometime last year where she was saying that she's getting so much more work done in a quicker amount of time at home than she did at work. And I said, you know, I can see why. It's because you're not taking lunch breaks.
Yeah.
You know, you're drinking coffee all day and not taking that hour to let your mind rest.
Yeah.
And then you're still catching up on work later that night. So it is quite hectic and quite scary, but I don't know. It feels like we're finding a way to make it work.
Yeah, we're all learning and adapting as we go, it seems like.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah. So switching gears a little bit, I want to talk a little bit more about your photography and videography and the kind of the style of your work. To me, from an outsider, it looks very distinctive. All of your work kind of flows together and it has a very distinctive style from what I've seen on Instagram and on Pexels. How would you kind of go about describing your own style of shooting and editing for those who might not be super familiar?
So my photography style, I would say the easiest way to describe it is quite loose. You know, I've spent quite a lot of hours trying to develop a style that I could turn around quite quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, so my color scheme is based on, you know, the colors that I like, which are, you know, those warm oranges and those sort of desaturated blues. But in terms of subjects that I can shoot, I try to keep it as broad as possible, you know, so that my content always seems interesting. There's always mm-hmm. something different. For example, if I want to shoot a car, you know, I can go into the mountains, I can go to a lake, something like that. Or something recently that I just shot and posted was a leaf. You know, nothing too fantastic and too wild, but it seems to just work. You know, it's simple. So when I say that the stuff that I shoot is quite loose, it literally means that I go out and I try to find something unique about every situation or if I've got a really interesting subject, I try to isolate that and really draw the viewer in. So that's the best way that that I can describe it. You sort of have to just look at it and you'll understand what I mean.
Yeah. And I think like the amazing thing about your style is like kind of how versatile it is. So like you mentioned, like you could shoot a leaf one day, but then you also have like beautiful like surfing photos or like car photos, and somehow it all comes together. And I know it can be super hard for beginners. And I know I struggled with this as well when I started, where it's like, what's your style? And before it was like split toning, where it's like everyone was doing that. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this too. But I don't think there's like one way that you can go about finding your style, because that's something that we get asked at Pexels all the time, is especially from our beginner photographers, is how can you find a style? And it doesn't come down to like just a color scheme or like you mentioned, just one subject. I think it's like definitely like a lot of trial and error to be able to get to where you are with like the style that you've developed for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even now, you know, my style is still developing. I've got pretty good knowing whether or not a shoot's going to work or not. So I've narrowed it down. I used to be, you know, one of those people where I would watch YouTube videos and literally YouTube the same thing, how to develop your own style, how to get a style. And there's so many videos out there. Some are good, but majority of them all feed you the same sort of information that just doesn't really help. And it's because it's quite a hard question to answer. But I think one of the best pieces of advice that I was given and that I can give others is find people who inspire you, you know, whether it's on Pexels or on Instagram or YouTube. Look at the content that they produce, you know, find things that you really enjoy and that you think you would like to shoot, and then just go out and shoot it, you know. And that's literally how you develop your style, because there's no point in copying someone's style if they're shooting, you know, like supercars and you have no access to supercars, because then you aren't going to grow. So that would be my best advice, is find people who inspire you and try and learn from them as best you can.
Yeah, that's very true. And I was just reading an article this morning about like, I guess how like, not artists, like I don't want to use the word steal. It's more like get inspired from one another. Like even Steve Jobs, like with the touchscreen, everyone thought it was such a revolutionary thing, but people have already like had this idea of the touchscreen. It just wasn't as like technologically advanced, but like there was a quote where it's like creativity is just connecting different ideas. So like you mentioned, it's going to take a lot of trial and error, and maybe finding bits and pieces of each artist that you like and understanding why you like that, and then forming your own kind of conclusion from there of what you want your own work to be. Because it's not like when you're first starting and you can Google like how to do a long exposure and it gives you like all the steps to do it. Finding your own style, it's not like there's one single step to do it. I think it's definitely a game of patience and practice.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with trying to recreate some of the images that you really enjoy. You know, it's some of the reason that a lot of us, you know, put content out there, you know, is for other people to obviously enjoy. Maybe I'm speaking a bit out of turn here, but the reason that I put content out there, A, is obviously for people to enjoy, but B is to inspire people. And I had a conversation the other night, I think it was about at 1 o'clock in the morning, my time, with a guy who was asking for help. And, you know, he said that he really enjoyed my content and he asked for advice. And I think we spoke for about half an hour, 45 minutes. On Instagram, just typing back and forth. And I took screenshots of my work and I told him, you know, these are the shots that I enjoyed the most. And then I sent him his own images from Instagram. And I told him, you know, if you put these together and got rid of the rest, you would literally have something that looked like your style. It would be more cohesive. So, you know, there's like I said, there's nothing wrong with, you know, using a little bit of artistic license and using inspiration. Obviously, you don't want to screenshot their work and repost it as your own. But I would say, you know, do it. That's the only way that you are going to learn. They obviously learn from other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we just need to help each other out as creatives and photographers and just people in the industry.
Yeah, totally. And it's so easy to get into like what they call analysis paralysis, where you're just like looking at something for so long. And I feel like there's definitely like pros and cons to each. Like I'm the person who like just likes to dive into things, but then I like make a lot of mistakes. Whereas like some people like to analyze it, but then sometimes like to their detriment. So there's definitely pros and cons of each of people who like really do their research before. But I think with that balance is like understanding what you like and where you get inspiration from, and then leaving it there and just going out and practicing it, because the more you kind of look at it, the more you think yourself into like a circle.
Yeah, no, I mean, with creatives, you know, you're always going to be your harshest critic.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it boils down to the numbers thing. You want to be as good as the people you follow. And sometimes you just have to do the, you know, the best that you can, and, you know, try. Mm-hmm. You just have to go out and try and shoot it. One thing that I could say to people is, if you go out and shoot and your shot isn't good enough in it, and you know you can do better, don't post it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are going to end up looking at your feed and you are going to be like me, who ends up deleting a whole bunch of stuff. Just because you posted something just to get a post out that day so you can get likes and comments, and it sucks. So don't post it, go back, shoot it again, do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally feel that. I remember like even when Instagram was not first starting, but starting to take traction, there's like all of these talk about like the algorithm and how much you could post per day and like when is the optimal posting time. And I think that gives a lot of pressure to people, because they feel like, like you mentioned, I need to post today or else the algorithm is gonna like punish me and like never show my work again. But yeah, I think it's separating, even though it's obviously great to have these platforms, separating that like internal need for like validation, which is understandable because you want people to like your work, obviously, with kind of holding yourself accountable to doing like work that you're proud of and not just like for an algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you have to look at why you're posting the work. If you're just posting it for likes and comments, I think you're going to be, you know, it's going to be quite a miserable road, because it's going to be so up and down, you know, especially with the algorithm. Just now you post at the wrong time of day, and, you know, it could be quite hectic. And I was definitely one of those people. Mm-hmm. I analyzed everything. I Googled what are the best times for people to, you know, post in South Africa, and I would open up 10 tabs and read them all and document. Okay, on Monday it's at 8 o'clock, on Wednesday it's that, Sunday is the worst day as well as Friday. So I would literally plan out my whole week, you know, and post at different times, and it gets exhausting after a while, and it takes all the joy out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, it's the reason that I post now is because I want people to enjoy my content, but I also want to inspire people. I want to build relationships with people. And that's not something you can force. And it's not something that's going to happen, you know, this week or next month. It's going to take time. And like I said, that's exactly why the other nights I spent, you know, like half an hour just messaging this guy like back and forth. It was just that's how you build community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's how you actually make a little bit of a difference and hopefully inspire someone else to create some really, really good content that you can one day look at and be like, oh wow, I wish I shot that.
Yeah, and especially like I love what you mentioned about community, because I think like before, social media was all about like just showing off and like be like, oh, I took this trip here and here's like 100 photos from it. Whereas like the one quote that really stuck with me is like, social media is meant for being social. So at least for me, I feel that shift from like showing off all the time to now no one's really going on these like extravagant vacations, or at least like I hope they're not right now, and it's all about connecting with people. And I've made so many friends, I feel like, just from yeah, like just chatting with them on social media and having that like lower barrier where it's not just like, oh, like people are just their work. There's a human behind it, and you want to connect with them and like understand who they are. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was, I think being stuck at home was quite an eye opener, because you realize that the people you somewhat idolize are also mm-hmm. just normal people.
Exactly.
You know, they are also stuck at home doing, you know, doing things that are new to them as well, and being forced to not travel, you know, and you don't have that content anymore.
Yeah.
It was definitely a bit of an eye opener. I mean, things are obviously still a bit strange, and the nice thing to see, I don't know what it's like, you know, everywhere else, because I haven't left South Africa since the pandemic started. But one of the nice things that I've seen a lot of people now shooting and going out are things in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we have a lot to offer here, but because you want to be like everyone else on Instagram, you go to Thailand or Bali or yeah. Iceland, or, you know, and then you neglect the small companies in your own country.
Yeah.
You know, the hotels, the Airbnbs and things like that. So yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. It's also like really great. I think people are really taking the time to like being tourists in like their own homes. One of the travel photographers that I interviewed a while ago, like I really looked up to her work, and I was just asking her like how, cause she traveled a lot for work, and I was asking her how she dealt with it. And she was like, yeah, like I'm just working with like local restaurants and like trying to find like these collaborations and stuff. And even though it sucks, you can't really go anywhere. I think a lot of people have like opened their eyes to like what's around them and that they never really considered before in their own cities or their own towns.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah,
I mean it's good for local businesses, because they're obviously suffering just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's definitely been good in that sense. Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to find new locations that are somewhat closer to home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And exploring everything.
I also know a few weeks ago that you shared a video project with us where yeah. you made a video all using Pexels footage, which was, I shared it with our team and everyone was like, whoa, this is like so cool that you shot this all yeah. with existing footage. And it was so inspirational, as a lot of people, like including myself, have found themselves in this like rut during this pandemic where it's like you've tried like indoor photo shoots, and I remember FaceTime photo shoots were a thing where people were just doing the best they can inside, but yeah. obviously like it does go in ups and downs, and I definitely feel like stuck in a rut sometimes. So yeah, I guess how have you been coping with like staying creative through all of this, because obviously that video was really inspirational to a lot of people.
Yeah, well, yeah, thank you. That it's quite a tricky question to answer, because if I'm being honest, last year felt a bit like a bad dream more than anything else. But yeah, one of the things that I really focused on, as you said, a lot of the photos in my feed have, you know, a specific kind of look and a color scheme, for lack of a better term. So that's one thing that I really focused on, is trying to find a way to, you know, to produce content that looked cohesive and looked like it all came from the same person when we, you know, started mm-hmm. opening up domestic travel, you know, from the beginning of this year. So I knew that was coming. So that was literally my focus, is to try and find a style and color that would really work with the existing footage that I had. So I obviously keep all of my old RAW files, and I just set myself a goal of, you know, trying to edit one shoot a week and make sure that the shoot that I did last week looks like the shoot that I'm editing this week. And then I obviously ran out of photos to edit, and I found a system that really worked for me that I could replicate quite easily. And I've been uploading to Pexels for quite a while, and I I've used, you know, a couple of the videos for pictures and stuff, just as fillers. And I really want to move into travel videography. And it's so easy to make, you know, to make the excuse that I can't shoot now, or mm-hmm. I don't have the footage. So I literally just downloaded, I think, almost everything that you guys have related to travel. And, you know, one of the things that a lot of YouTubers say, you know, especially when you YouTube how to make a travel video, or how to make, well, my favorite one is how to make things cinematic.
Yeah.
You know, it all boils down to storytelling. So that was my goal, is to download your footage and, you know, try and make an interesting story out of it. And it basically boiled down to, you know, I think the tagline that I used when I sent it, I can't remember who I emailed it through to on your team, but I emailed saying something, you know, along the lines that we can't travel at the moment, but, you know, we can pretend, you know, mm-hmm. we can imagine that we're traveling. So this is just a little travel video for all of us that can't really go out at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's really amazing, like, being able to, like, see these kinds of projects, because I'm sure a lot of people have had trips canceled or plans canceled, which can be super devastating. But the moral of the story here is to be able to kind of use what you have to the best of your ability. And it's, yeah, really great to be able to see that, because it's like, whoa, like, even for our team, we're like, we didn't know there's, like, all these amazing, like, obviously, like, we see all of them, but seeing it put together in this beautiful way that was still your style, because looking at it, I can still tell it's like the same person as the ones who took your photos. So it's so interesting yeah. to be able to see that this is footage from people from all around the world, from different backgrounds and different, like, travels, but still making it cohesive in your style. And I think that's the great thing about this community, is that, like, people can, like, borrow from each other and help each other out to be able to make, like, projects like these.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's how we all, you know, all get better. I mean, if you are constantly striving to, you know, up your game and produce better work, then at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be so much more fulfilled with your photography journey or your videography journey. And it's definitely communities like this that really make a difference, you know, because you can ask questions and get honest answers from people that genuinely are trying to help you. And that's all that we need, is just a little bit of good advice and some help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I love that. Now, just wrapping up, are there any projects that you are working on right now that you're excited about?
Yeah, well, I shoot every now and then for a brand in Australia called LSKD. I mean, those guys are really, really awesome, and always send me, you know, really, really good things to shoot. There is a project that I'm working on at the moment, but unfortunately I signed an NDA.
Yeah.
It's a car commercial. Oh, not sorry, not a car commercial. It's a car shoot, and it's quite a lengthy process, because we can't travel at the moment, mm-hmm. and that was the initial brief. So I'm trying to find a way to adapt that now. But other than that, I'm still going to continue shooting my own content. I've never shot a motorbike before, and I have another friend who's also a very talented photographer who has a motorbike, so that's something that I should be posting hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
That'll be
quite interesting and new.
Yeah, of course. It's always cool when you kind of challenge yourself out of, like, what you normally do, and kind of surprise yourself in a way.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's going to be good. I don't know if you've seen those, you know, those typical car shots where you have a photographer hanging out the back of a car, shooting another car behind them. I haven't done that yet, and they always look so cool.
It looks so scary. I literally just saw like a video of it on TikTok like last night.
The images look really cool.
Yeah, it's like do it for the shot.
You do it for the gram.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that I'll do just for the likes, because it will look cool. But yeah, I must admit, weirdly enough, I've got a lot of inspiration from TikTok videos. I never ever thought that I would say that. But since you brought that up, I must admit, I've seen some really, really interesting things. Mm-hmm. There's a photographer that I follow. His Instagram handle is Yantastic. I think his name is Peter Yan. I don't know if you've ever seen his work. So he's been posting a lot of reels lately and a couple TikTok videos. And one of the nicest things to see is a before and after sort of edit, because it just makes you realize, you know, that if you have a shot that doesn't look the greatest, when you go into, you know, your editing program, you know, if you remember these specific shots that they've got and how far they've pushed them, it makes you play around with, you know, new brushes or new ways of editing or adjusting curves in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's quite interesting to see other people's processes.
Yeah, TikTok is in such a great resource, and it's definitely had like such a huge change since the pandemic started. Because I know before, my sister who's younger than me, like she would like be like showing me all these like dance videos of like teenagers literally just dancing in front of the camera, and I had the same thought. I was like, there's no way I'm gonna like actually like this or like actually use this platform. But since everyone's at home, everyone's making like really cool tutorials, I've gotten like cooking recipe ideas and like photography ideas, and especially since it's so quick, it's not like you have to watch like a full 20-minute like YouTube video to find out how to do something. It's so crazy that like people are able to show you how they did something in, I don't know what the time limit is, like between 15 seconds to like a minute.
Yeah, 15 seconds to a minute. Mm. I mean, again, it just goes to show, you know, how awesome it is that really talented people are willing to give away their information, you know, basically for free, and develop their own little communities within a bigger community. I think it came around at a good time. I think it's really helped a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. Yeah. So for everyone who is listening, where can we find your work online?
Okay, besides Pexels, if you want to look at my work on Pexels, it's at Luke Barkey, all one word. And it's exactly the same on Instagram, Twitter, also just at Luke Barkey, all lowercase, all one word. And on Facebook, it's at Luke Barkey Photo.
Perfect. That makes it super easy. You have it all across all the platforms.
Yeah, all the same. Yeah, literally.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Luke, for joining us today and having this amazing conversation. It was so great getting to know you, and thank you for sharing all of your wisdom about how you've like developed your style to all this amazing advice in this episode.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I must admit, it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
If you've made it this far, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to Overexposed. As a token of my appreciation, I'll be offering a free 20-minute phone call to talk about your creative goals and how we can get you there. Just shoot me an email at wendy@pexels.com or send us a DM at Pexels on Instagram. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your ratings and reviews help more people like you find our podcast. And finally, don't forget to subscribe and share this episode with someone you think would also love it. Until next time, I'm Wendy, and it's been a pleasure to share this time with you.